You're listening to a message presented at Green Bay First. More information about Green Bay First can be found online at www.greenbayfirst.net. May God draw you closer to Him as you listen.
Wow. So, you guys are a bunch of freaks, because what are we doing here today? I mean, you guys understand that what we are doing takes an enormous amount of faith. There's a friend of mine in college, and he used to say this to me all the time. He said, "Jimmy, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space." So many times in our Christian walk, we live in our comfort zones because it's comfortable to us, because we know how to do it. It makes sense to us. We've created it with our own hands. And because of that, it makes sense. It's comfortable. And we just love to do that, right? We can function in what we're comfortable with because we've created it. And so everything that we are doing here today, from praying to challenging our leaders to asking you to get on your face and pray and seek the face of God, everything that we have asked you to do, I hope and I pray, has brought you to the brink of where you are uncomfortable with. Because where I am is right here. See my big size 14 shoes? Half of it is sticking off of this stage. Each and every one of us needs to join together, not just individuals, but as churches, and ask, as Pastor Jake asked, "Am I about my Father's business? Lord, is this your will? Thy will be done." We understand that principle because Jesus himself taught it to us in the most stressful moment of his life. In the moments when he was in the garden all by himself, friends had gone away, fallen asleep. Jesus was in the garden praying. And he said, "Lord, if this be your will, that this cup pass from me. But nevertheless," say it with me, "not my will, but thy will be done." And because of that, Jesus went to the cross, and humanity, you and I, benefited from the Son of God. And by saying, "not my will, but thy will be done." So in my book, you guys are a bunch of faith freaks, all right? What are we doing here today? I've asked my church, and I've asked myself, and I've asked my wife to put our preferences aside, put our fears aside, put our preconceived notions and hypotheticals aside, because hypotheticals means that it hasn't happened yet, right? And sometimes we foster fear based on what we've conceived in our own mind with our vain imaginations. And I want to encourage you today to link your faith with mine, with New Freedom, with Green Bay First, and say, "Lord, thy will be done." Amen? So, yeah, one clap. I got one clap. That was awesome. Hey, I'm from the South, so, like, our pastors down South, man, they throw hankies around, they hack a little bit. I don't hack, but I haven't risen to that level yet, so I don't, Pastor Jake, have you risen to that level? I don't think so. So, but amens work good. Pastor Jake, do you get amens in this church? Amen. Let me hear it. Amen? There we go. So let's pray. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you so much for what you have done in Green Bay First and at New Freedom Church. God, you have truly transformed two struggling churches, and you have transformed them into something beautiful, something that is progressive, something that is on the cutting edge of what you are doing. You are saving souls. You are transforming marriages. You are setting the captives free. And Pastor Jake and I have just been along for the ride. And we thank you so much, Lord, for bringing us here today at this moment to consider the possibility of transforming not only our neighborhoods, but also the city and the region. So, Lord, we glorify you, and we put our hope and we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 2 years ago, I was asked to speak at a leadership conference. Your pastor was involved in that as well. They were focusing in on the fivefold ministry. And the one that I was chosen to speak on was on the issue of pastor. And one of the things that I said was that a pastor has to fully engage his faith in every decision that he makes, every sermon that he prepares, every person that he counsels, every person that he leads to Christ, every event that they plan, every decision they made has got to be birthed in prayer and engaged in prayer. There are pastors that can build a church on huge charisma. They can draw a stadium full of people to them because of their charisma, because of their preaching ability, because of their giftings and talents. But if you have not engaged your faith, if you have not settled within yourself a faith that surpasses all understanding, a faith that moves mountains, then everything that you do, everything that you're about, everything that you have, every person that you have brought into the fold is about an inch deep. Everything that we do has got to be engaged in faith. And as I was studying this, I came across a story about these Celtic monks back in the year of AD 43 to about 900. These guys were faith freaks, just like every person in this room. Back in those days, they used to build these weird-looking boats that looked like a walnut shell. And they were called coracles. Some of you New Freedom Church knows what I'm talking about. And they built these little weird boats called coracles that looked like a walnut shell. And what they did was they fashioned a boat that looked like a basket, but it had a broad shape to it. And then they would fashion these animal skins to it, and then they would tar the outside to seal it up. And it was so lightweight, you could carry it with one hand and throw it on your back, and you would look like a Ninja Turtle, right? Going through the place. And so they used it so that they could portage over and over as they go throughout. Very mobile. It was steered by a rudder and by a paddle. And usually it was manned just for one person. But here the monks got this idea. They thought, man, if we could fashion a coracle that would seat about 8 to 10 people, we would go out and trust God. We would set our sails and we would go and see where God would cause us to land. And so they built these huge coracles. And the weird thing about it is that they didn't take a rudder. They didn't take a paddle. All they had was a sail, and they got in it and set sail. And wherever the wind took them, wherever the current set them to go, that is where they went, because they believed it was providential, that God was leading and directing them to a people that needed to hear the gospel, the good news. Everybody say the good news. That good news has not changed throughout all generations, throughout all time, all of history, no matter how we feel or no matter what the struggles of life and the community may look like. The good news has always been the good news since Jesus himself died on the cross. Amen? And so what happened that day was they set out and they put up a sail and they said, Lord, you direct us where we need to go. And the currents took them off and the winds blew them where they wanted to go, and they landed in a spot in a providence that they had never been before. And the king heard about these crazy monks that set sail and had landed on their shores, and he ran to them along with all of his royal court. And he began to inspect this crazy-looking boat called a coracle that looked like this huge walnut shell. And he looked at these 6 or 8 monks like they were out of their minds and said, why in the world did you do this? You have no rudder, you have no paddle, and all you got is this sail, and you're just trusting whoever this God is you serve? And they said, yes, we have come for you. We want to tell you the good news. And they began to express and to call out and to describe the good news about Jesus dying on the cross, that he lived and died and rose again. And on that third day, he came up out of the grave and he set the captives free. And the king, upon hearing that, plus witnessing the engagement of these monks building this coracle, this crazy looking thing, he gave his life to Christ. He gave the monks a platform in his kingdom, and all of the kingdom came to Christ because of their crazy faith. That's the kind of faith that I'm talking about here today. And so with that said, I believe the Lord is asking us today, both as individuals and as a church, to set sail again to trust the Lord. He is wondering if we are willing to put our rudders aside and even throw away our oars and let the winds blow where he wants us to go. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that I must go, and whenever I go, the Comforter will come, one that is called along beside you. So no matter how high you set your sails, or no matter how tiny the boat you may be in, the Holy Spirit is there to engage you, to empower you, to equip you, to do the task at hand. Whether it be a church collectively or an individual, whatever God has set you in your hands to do, you are to do it with all of your heart, despite the opinion of your family and of your friends and of your coworkers. And trust me, the people that will oppose you the most are the people that are closest to you. Now, I know none of you guys understand what I'm talking about, but it's the truth. When I came to Christ and told my mother that I wanted to become a pastor, and I didn't know where that was going to be, I began to build my coracle. My plan was that I was going to be a child psychologist. I'd already been accepted into the college of my choice and had my roommate, had everything set. And when God saved me and brought me to his loving arms and called me to be a pastor, my whole life was turned upside down. At that moment, the Lord said, here, this is your best laid plans right here. But over here, I have something that is above and beyond, something that is extraordinary, something that you can't build, something that you can't take claim for. And if you'll come over here, and I know you don't have all the answers, and I know that you don't have all of the nuances worked out, but if you'll trust me, I'm going to take you on an adventure that you will never, ever get over. And to this day, this hillbilly from Tennessee has set him and his family in a coracle, and it blew us to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen? Not one day goes by that I don't wake up in my bed and set my feet down on the ground and look outside and go, what am I doing in Green Bay, Wisconsin? We love it here. God has shifted us and brought us into this area for such a time as this. Jesus said, if you'll turn with me in John 3:8, Jesus said this, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Everybody say, born of the Spirit. Each and every person that has accepted Christ, not just into their hearts, but truly have made the Son of God the Lordship of your life, and you have committed yourself to him and his teaching and his ways, are born of the Spirit. Our lives in Christ should be viewed as a journey, seeking an opportunity for growth and transformation. And not predictability based on our own giftings and limited strength. A self-made man is the saddest individual on the face of the planet. Because everything that man is or woman is created by their own limitations, created by their own limited understanding. They've built their life based on not what's around the corner, but what is simply in front of them. I do not want to live my life like that, because as a believer, he has called us to live by seeking an opportunity for growth and transformation in our lives. And the only way that we grow, the only way that we're transformed, I'm sorry to say, is through adversity. Everybody say adversity. And hardship and confusion and hurt and pain. Because at that moment, we have a decision to make in our life. It's either we're going to give him all of our cares, all of our decisions, and put our trust in him, or we're going to gather it amongst ourselves and try to come up with our own plan based on our own limitations. Our journey involves some sort of risk and adventure, right? You're not an adventurer if you're not willing to take some kind of risk. If you're not willing to make that decision to go toward where the road is bending to the left or to the right. It's important to understand that we have got to put our faith and our trust in him. We can't bring our best laid plans and lift them up and say, Lord, does this please your heart? Because we've got it backwards. What we should do is say, Lord, I'm not sure what I need to do to make of my life or the plans that you have for me. And so, Lord, my hands are open. The possibilities are limitless, and whatever you choose to do with my life, you arrange it so that it pleases your heart. And I know that God will bless those plans. He doesn't all the time bless our best laid plans, because it didn't originate from him. It originated from us. It originated from our own desires. It originated from our own limited plans and our own limited understanding. But if we trust the Lord, if we lean not upon our own understanding, and in all of our ways, everybody say all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? He will direct our path. That's not a hypothetical. That is a guarantee that has come straight to the Father, to you, and to us as a church. Amen? It appears to me that most of our churches, and some of Christians as well, want to do things that they can do themselves. Some churches, some individuals have simply gotten stuck. They are in a rut instead of a journey. And you guys know what a rut is. A rut or a grave is. A grave is simply, a rut is a grave that has both ends knocked out of it. It's a rut. It's something that you can't get out of. A rut is an obligation and not a journey. A rut takes you where it wants to and not where the Spirit is leading us. A rut is an obligation, not a journey. Following Jesus is a journey. It demands movement and change and action and courage. And all of those things put us on the edge of our capabilities and demands that we make a decision. Because when we've heard from the Lord, the praying is done. What needs to happen next is obedience. What needs to happen next is, God, give me the courage. Give me the tenacity. Give me the motivation. Give me the action so that I can embrace the change that you're about to bring to my life. A journey involves some sort of risk. We have to move outside of our comfort zones and head into the unknown. I firmly believe that God is calling his church right now to move out of their comfort zones with him. We're in a place right now where we're in this boat, and we see Jesus on the water, and Peter speaks up and he says, Jesus, if that is you, bid me to come and I'll come to you. And Jesus, without hesitation, said, come on out, Peter. You guys know the story. Peter got out of the boat. I don't know if he was tossed out. I don't know if he was kicked out by one of the disciples. All I know is Scripture says he got out of the boat. And it's that moment that he began to step on something that was unfamiliar to him. He stepped on providence. He stepped on blessing. He stepped on assurance. And he kept his eyes on the prize. And the eye and the prize was Jesus himself. And the Bible says that as they got closer, as Jesus came closer, and as Peter began to take those first wobbly steps on the water, that all of a sudden the wind and the rain became part of the equation. And it wasn't a part of the equation before. Why was it? It's because he was in the boat. You see, when we're in our comfort place, when we're in a place that we have built, when we're in a comfortable surroundings that we know how to do, everything else, faith is not a factor because we've built it. We're comfortable. We can operate in that. But when Jesus tells us to get out of the boat, the wind and the rain becomes a factor. In other words, the noise, their opinion, your opinion, that church's opinion, my family's opinion about being a pastor, all comes into play. And all of a sudden you hear things like, that is impossible. I don't think that that's right. Jimmy, you've been planning to be a psychologist since the 9th grade. What has changed? I think this is wrong. I think your pastor's manipulating you. What kind of cult have you joined? And then all of a sudden you step out in faith believing and you push back the noise of life and the opinion of man and you say, as Jesus said in the garden, not my will but your will be done. Amen? Too many of us decide to stay on the shore when the Spirit of God is beckoning us to come. We tend to gravitate again to the known rather than the unknown. We will never reach the new place God has in mind if we don't hop in and go for a ride. Some of you know that you need to build your coracle. Some of you have been putting it off. Some of you know that God has spoken to you about going to this place or to leading a life group or joining the leadership team or whatever the situation may be. Maybe God's calling you out into a foreign mission field. Maybe some of you have been putting off the call of God all of your life, and the materials to build your boat is sitting right in front of you. Start building your boat. Make provision for the call of God in your life. For the love of God, step out of your own comfort zone. Step into a place that you've never been before. And I promise you that whatever you do, as God directs you, He's going to bless you. He's going to give you the provision and the anointing to accomplish the task in front of you. There's a fellow by the name of George McLeod. He once said this, Christians are explorers, not map makers. We're explorers, not map makers. We lose testimony of his faithfulness if we don't take risk. Scripture says that he has given us everything we need to overcome. These three things he has given us. He has given us the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and that we love not our life unto death. The word of our testimony. What a forgotten thing. The word of our testimony, what is that? It's your story about what Christ has done in your life. It is a testimony of what the Son of God Himself has done in your life. It means that you were once bound, but now you have been set free. It means that you have got a story to tell, and that story births hope. That story births healing. That story births resurrection in our lives, and nobody can tell your story like you. Nobody is anointed enough to tell your story like you are anointed to tell your story. You are the expert at telling your story. And so because of that, we understand that if we stay on the shore and say goodbye to the rest of the people that are setting sail by faith, we lose our testimonies. We lose our testimonies of God's faithfulness. We remember yesteryear and what God had done in the past, but we have no stories about the present and what God is currently doing in our life. So with that, there's some examples I want to mention to you today. How many of you guys have ever heard of Daniel? Daniel in the lion's den. You guys, Sunday school, you've been there. Pastor Jake, he's heard the story of Daniel. So if Daniel had not continued to pray to God instead of King Darius, he would not have seen the miracle of the lion's den. Some of you here today may look at the lion's den as a horrible experience, but Daniel looked at it as an opportunity for God to show himself faithful, not only to himself, but to a foreign invading land. To God be the glory. But you do not come to your lion's den moment until you have believed God in the smaller things. When Daniel was first brought into exile, and he and three of his other companions were brought in as kids, and they were plucked out of the group because they were smart, apt, intelligent. And so the king said, I want you to train them in our ways, teach them our history, teach them our language, and let them eat from my table. And Daniel said, hold on a minute. I do not want to defile myself by eating from the king's table. And so the attendant that was in charge of Daniel said, you need to be quiet because you're going to get us killed. And he said, listen, our diet is vegetables. What we drink is water. And so if you would just give us 10 days, just give us 10 days. And if you can't see a difference between us and the others, then we'll go and we'll eat from the king's table. Now, that's a huge thing because Daniel could have gotten killed. And so the attendant agreed, and he said, okay, I'll give you 10 days. So eat vegetables, drink your water, and I'll assess it after 10 days. And so 10 days go by, and they looked, and the countenance upon David and their companions was much greater than the ones that they were associating with. And so to God be the glory, they continued to do what it was that they wanted to do. We also see that when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and nobody, not the soothsayers, not the most providential people in the kingdom, not anybody else can interpret the dream. And Daniel spoke up and he said, I can interpret your dream, King. And so Daniel was brought into the presence of the king. And Daniel said, this is the dream. This is what it means. Even in captivity, God can advance you. Even in captivity, God can still bless you. Even in captivity, God can still show his providential power to you in the face of your enemies. Amen? And so what happened in Daniel 3 tells us a story also about when King Nebuchadnezzar issued an order throughout all the kingdom that at the sound of the music, everyone is to drop down and kneel and worship the golden image. Now, this golden image wasn't some little thing like we put on a little stool and we set it in the corner and we pay homage to it. This thing was 90 feet tall and 90 feet wide and made out of gold. This thing was made for noticeability, right? He wanted people to see it, and at the sound of the music, everybody was to bow down and worship this big monstrosity of a thing. But what happened is these three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were friends of Daniel, had refused to bow down to the golden image. And what happened is King Nebuchadnezzar called these three guys in, and he said, are you refusing to bow down? Are you refusing to worship the image that I have commanded everybody do? And this was their response. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. Now let me stop right there. Do they have no value of life at this moment? They're before the king. They know that he is a wicked king. And all of a sudden their opening line is this. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we will never serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. And because of this act of rebellion, the king calls it rebellion, but the Lord calls it faith. And because of that, they were thrown into the fiery furnace that was burning 7 times hotter than it usually is. When they were thrown into the furnace, the king said, "Weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?" And the people around him replied, "Certainly, O king, look, I see a 4th man walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And that 4th man looks like the Son of God. Even our enemies can see the faithfulness of God." Amen? It doesn't matter what we're going through or who God has presented us in front of. If we speak the word of God, despite how we feel and despite what may happen to us, God gets the glory every single time. Even in captivity, he can get the glory. We do not get our fiery furnace moment by accident. God gives you opportunities to respond by faith in the small things to set the stage for your 4th man moment. How many of you guys are ready for your 4th man moment this morning? Amen? Amen? In our lives and as our churches collectively, stories of faith require risk and setting out into the unknown. It's then and only then do we see God coming through. I believe it is time for an adventure rather than playing it safe. The late Irish poet John O'Donohue wrote this poem called Fluent. It says this. He said, "I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding." God wants us to flow along with him, bouncing in the current that he has generated, not the one society spawns and being swept up in the wind that he blows. He longs to surprise us this morning, church. He longs to surprise you in your life. I had no idea at the beginning of my life that I would do what I'm doing, preaching what I'm preaching, standing where I'm standing. It is God's will that I be here. It is God's plan that I be here. It is God's will that you be here. And if you have said no to God 100,000 times and you're living under condemnation or you're living under disobedience, you can still have your fiery furnace moment. You can still have your Daniel in the lion's den moment. You can still have your 4th man in the fire moment if you trust him. If you step out and set sail, throw away your oar, throw away your rudder, completely burn it on the shores of forgetfulness and go out toward what God has for you in your life individually and as our churches collectively. God wants us to flow along with him. And it's time for you personally today to set sail in your coracle. To leave all of our struggling, all of our doing, setting it aside for the glory of God and trusting him. Maybe your faith journey today begins by putting your faith in Christ and setting sail on a journey, a faith journey with him. Maybe today and you came to Extravaganza last week. Maybe you came last Sunday and you heard Pastor Jake preach a message, and maybe you heard the Spirit of God churning these things up in your life. And today you came back for just a little bit more. No, God is asking you to begin to build a coracle today that would set sail into a life that you couldn't have imagined on your own, that you would be more provisioned than you have ever been in your entire life, that the anointing of the Spirit of God would be on you to do greater things than you could have ever imagined all by yourself. Or maybe you are at a crossroads moment in your life and everything that you have believed God for has set the stage for the faith that will be required for you in this fiery furnace moment. We are here today because we are sensing a movement and a shift in both of our churches. And I am calling upon you and every one of us here today to trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Everybody say, acknowledge Him. And He will direct our path. He will lead us faithfully. He will supply us for the journey. He will give us the anointing and the understanding and the faith and the courage and the courage that is needed to face the unknown and to step out in faith. Amen. Would you all stand with me this morning? Just remember this. We lose testimony of His faithfulness if we do not take risks. In other words, if we're not obedient to the leading and moving and flowing of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Jake, would you come up here today? I want us to link our faith together as two churches. We're standing here today on a Sunday morning where my best laid plan has been put to the test. And we're asking the Lord to lead and guide and direct. And I know that there may be some from New Freedom and some from Green Bay First, maybe asking some crazy questions and some good questions. And maybe you're acting out in your faith, or maybe you're just acting out. Maybe it's because you're unsettled. And what we are asking here today is that you link your faith, not only with ours, but you would link up with the Father so that He can lead us and guide us, so that we can build this coracle and step out and push out into the sea. Because God is doing some amazing things, amen? What I want to do today, this morning, is this. Before we go any further, would you bow your heads with me? Today, I don't want to lose sight of what the preaching of the Word of God is for. So today, if you are here today and you're new, this is your first time, and what you have heard has pricked your heart, it's made you sense something deep down inside of you, a need that only the Spirit of God can bring about. And today I want you to give in and start that faith journey. Make Christ the Lord of your life. And so with if you would just bow your head. If you say, Pastor Jimmy, man, this is my first time here, maybe my second time here, and God has really touched me, and I want to receive Christ today. I want to start building my boat. I want to set out onto a journey that I cannot fashion, that I cannot navigate myself. I want to make Christ the Lord of my life. I want to repent of my sins. Today, if that is you, would you raise your hand? We want to pray with you here today. Amen. Keep them up so we can see them. But I want to receive you today, Lord. I want to make you the Lord of my life. Today and forevermore. Amen. And I'm going to pray over you. And what I want you to do is I want you to simply ask Christ to forgive you, to come into your life. Scripture tells us to confess with our mouths, to believe with our heart that God raised Christ up from the dead. He said you would be saved. And so, Lord, I come before you now, and I speak over every hand that was raised, and I ask, Father, that as they ask you to forgive them, that you would make your will and your plan for them known, that you would forgive them of their sins, that you would heal them from all of their hurts, that you would begin to speak life, direction, and purpose right now. And Lord, I pray that as they ask for forgiveness, that burden of sin would be lifted, and that you would be glorified and you would be honored. And Father, we thank you for the possibilities of what you are doing here in our midst. And I pray, Father, that as we go home today, that we begin to pray and seek your face and put our preferences aside, put our fears aside, put our selfishness aside for a minute. And Lord, say, thy will be done. And Lord, I pray that if the open door that is before us has to be shut, then Lord, would you shut it completely? Would you make it known? Would you make it obvious? Would you make it plain? Because Lord, we don't want to do anything that we do not see you in heaven doing. And so Lord, we trust you in the process. But Lord, if this is your will, then I pray that you give us provision for the journey. You supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And Lord, anoint us to do the task at hand. May you bring us peace. And Father, we will forever be grateful and happy and willing and obedient to step out into that coracle and say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio message by Green Bay First. Pastors and speakers, you're welcome to copy this in your own sermons. Just don't sell it for monetary gain as your own. Feel free to make copies of this audio message file to give to others, but when doing so, please copy it in its entirety as it is presented here. Again, thank you for listening, and we pray that God's Spirit use this message to draw you closer to Christ.